Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Teresa Walker of the Associated Press, now a four-time Tennessee Sports Writer of the Year. Teresa, thanks for joining us. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Robbie. And, no offense, Joe, but I do love winning when I get a chance to beat Mr. Joe Rexford. So makes it a little sweeter.
Oh, I was hoping you'd take a shot. That was great.
Well,
it's a landslide.
Right over the plate.
I'm doofus of the year. You're sports writer of the year.
You'll get no arguments from me on that standpoint. Teresa, we've been talking a lot about the Titans and obviously some decisions they're going to have to make this offseason. And Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and Jayon Brown come to mind as three really big ones. And it's been interesting to see Titans fans and how they prioritize that. We threw out a poll question yesterday, and it was all really close with Corey Davis getting the slight edge in terms of the highest priority. If you had to rank those three, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and Jayon Brown, in terms of priority to re-sign if you're John Robinson and the Titans, how would you go about answering that?
I'm probably going to go with Corey Davis. I mean, this is a guy who was a first-round pick, and he turns in a career year. He gets off-season surgery. He's healthy and turns in an incredible year in a tough year. I mean, he loses his brother and then has a child in December. I mean, it was as crazy as 2020 was. He may have experienced the highs and lows more than most people. But Jonnu Smith is right there at like 1B. I mean, it's tough to find tight ends, period, these days. And, he's a guy that, when he's not being, needed to help block more, he's a guy who makes some serious plays and opens up so much. Here's the thing. My theory is one thing that might help the Titans, get rid of Adam Humphries. I mean, this is a guy who's been limited. He played seven games this year. He was still in the concussion protocol at the end of the season, according to Mike Vrabel. And, it was an unfortunate hit in the Cincinnati game. But with 2 years left on his deal, and he's played 19 of the possible 32 regular season games, that may be a move that helps make the others a little bit easier. Jayon Brown, guys looking at, spot rack and stuff, they don't even have a market value on Jayon Brown, which is interesting considering when he was injured, he was the leading tackler on this team, and it was obvious to Titans fans how important he is to this team.
Yeah, I wonder with Humphries. I mean, I agree. I think that's one of the places you look on, on cost cutting. I mean, I wonder about his future, given – really, we're talking about a hit that was more than 2 months ago, and we saw him briefly after that. And, obviously more and more guys are making decisions, for long-term health there too. So I agree. I think that's a real possibility, Teresa. On the D coordinator front, I know our friend Mike Vrabel said basically like we made a big deal out of this, and it wasn't a big deal, but I mean, I guess then why ever give anybody a title? What do you think? Where do you think that goes? You think that he brings someone in, gives Shane Bowen the title, takes away all the titles, and they're all just random coaches, and we just have to guess what they're all coaching? Where do you think D coordinator goes for this franchise?
Well, Joe, looking at the defense, it's easy to argue that, guess what? When Dean Pease was coordinator, he was coordinator. He wasn't also coaching a different, a specific position group. Shane Bowen was also coaching the outside linebackers and calling the plays on defense and, putting together the schemes. It was doable. It just wasn't, the results on the field didn't show that maybe it was working. So, at this point, what I think Vrabel should do, hire, if Bowen's his guy, make him your D coordinator, but hire somebody to coach the outside backers. Allow Shane Bowen to just devote his attention to that part of the game. I still think that a bigger part of the issue on defense is just they need more players. They need better players. I mean, the pass rush guys, going into the final game at Houston, they had 15 sacks. Dead last in the NFL. We saw it all season. What we saw in Houston and against the Ravens with, 9 sacks combined, that was an anomaly. That was not what we saw the entire season. So, maybe, I don't know what clicked specifically in those two games. I thought in Houston is the fact that, well, it's Houston. They've got a horrible offensive line. I mean, I could probably sack Deshaun Watson because, you know, he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore. He doesn't have any help down there. But, you know, against the Ravens, that was a little bit more impressive. But, you know, why didn't they do it the rest of the year? So, you know, the Clowney move, the Beasley move, absolutely crapped out with no sacks between them. So, you know, get some better personnel. That's going to be incumbent on John Robinson to improve that position this offseason. But, you know, give your guy time to do the job and to do it right. You know, Arthur Smith is not also coaching tight ends when he was offensive coordinator. So name him, pay him, and you know, don't overload him.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Teresa, let's get into the Isaiah Wilson situation, because obviously it was a disaster this year. A first-round pick, never saw the field in a meaningful snap, and off the field at times has just been an absolute headache. And, you know, they come out and put him on the, you know, the non-football reserve list, and you're thinking, okay, maybe he's going through some things. And then over the holidays, the videos come out of him down in Miami and partying and just all the different things that have gone on with Isaiah Wilson. I realize he's a first-round pick, and I realize that you've got a lot invested in that guy. But how close do you think the Titans are to just punting and moving on from that? How much patience do you think they should have with Isaiah Wilson as they move forward here?
Well, Robbie, they've got to have patience for at least another offseason. He is a first-round pick. And, you know, let's face it, they didn't get much of anything from their entire first round rookie class this year. You know, the virtual off season, you know, it was a challenge, and, you know, it helped if you had a veteran team. The veterans on the Titans handled it better than these rookies. And, you know, sometimes that routine, guys go from college to pro, and, you know, that's where it helps to have the off season program to work these guys into, you know, to being professionals. And, you know, with not having that, doing only virtual, it certainly didn't do them any help. Now, the way the pandemic's going, they may not have a you know, and J.C. Treader, the president of the players' union, says, you know what, it worked really well, play was good, everything was fine, let's do this more in the future. But, you know, you can look at the Titans rookie class and say, they need something. But you've got to be patient with Isaiah Wilson and see if, you know, if he can, you know, with a few more months, grow up, maybe get him some, you know, some attention, counseling, advice. But, yeah, at a certain point, if he's not showing signs of getting it in 2021, they're going to have to move on. You can't waste that roster spot that much longer. So are we getting close? Yeah. Is it tomorrow? No way, no how. Later in 2021? Possible.
Yeah. I mean, they've got, you know, you got to hear from him too. You know, that's the thing that we don't know is the discussions. But, man, at some point, there better be a pretty severe mea culpa and a vow that you actually care about this stuff, or maybe that speeds up the clock. But I agree. I mean, you invest that kind of draft capital in someone, you can't afford to move on and then watch him all of a sudden grow up and become a good player somewhere else, and you're just left holding the bag. But that's going to be real interesting. Teresa, I wanted to switch quickly to the Preds. I mean, you cover everything. You write about everything. You're all over the state. Are you excited about hockey coming? And what do you think about this team? You know, reduced expectations, trying to be grittier. And what do you think? What do you think this team could do?
Well, I need to see it, Joe. I mean, is the potential there? Absolutely. But we've known that, and you know, that's what's made the last, you know, ever since the Stanley Cup Final in 2017, they've been going the wrong direction. You know, keep us together, keep us together, and yet they weren't doing what they said they could do if you kept them together. And when you look at the production, you know, yes, it was a weird season this last year with the pause, the resumption. But when you look at the key guys, Forsberg, Johansson in particular, Duchesne, Arvidsson, they just did not produce the way they had in previous years. It was a backslide. So they all have room for improvement. In this. If they play up to their talent, they're absolutely a team that can compete. And maybe, you know, being – no one's counting them. No one's picking them to win the division. No one's got them near the top of the odds to win the Stanley Cup Final. That might be something that helps them. But as John Hines said, you know, the day they were starting to getting ready to open up training camp, they got to get rid of the gap between their say and their do. And, you know, the way I put it is they need a little less conversation. And, you know, it is time for them to actually show us what they can do and quit talking about it. If they can do that, this is a team that is capable. I mean, we've seen they have lots of success in the last couple of years against Tampa Bay Lightning. By the way, Stanley Cup final winners. So, you know, let's just see what they can do. But they're going to have to show me. I'm tired of listening to it. I need to see them go out in there and play. Now, the problem is, goalie situation is going to be, you know, we got to see what's happening. Pekka thinks he can do a bounce back season. He's also 38. That makes it more challenging. Saros, you know, can they play better defense in front of both of them and help them both, you know, have better years? You know, yeah, it's possible. But again, I need to see them do that. In a 56 game schedule, how they play every game is absolutely going to matter. They can't take periods off, let alone games.
A little less conversation, a little more action. Well done, Teresa. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Teresa, great stuff. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thank you so much, Robbie and Joe.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Teresa had to say there about Isaiah Wilson. How close are the Titans to shutting the door and moving on from Isaiah Wilson? We'll get your reaction to that next on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And make sure you're tuning in this hour for the cue to call for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Preds season opener against the Columbus Blue Jackets at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. We'll be giving those away and in your opportunity all day long here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.